What is up, beautiful people? You are now tuned into Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870. I am your host, Al Martin. Can you believe it's already Friday? We plan to send you all into the weekend with a bang as we will invite former Michigan State men's basketball player star and now forward for the NBA's own Minnesota Timberwolves, Adrian Payne. That's right, Payne will be in the East Lansing area next week, Monday, for his second annual basketball camp. We'll chat with Payne about the camp, also his time being in the NBA, first with the Atlanta Hawks and then being traded in February to the Minnesota Timberwolves. That should be an interesting chat. You don't want to miss that. We'll also recap what took place in Washington on the gridiron between the Detroit Lions and the Washington Redskins. Of course, game two of preseason action for the Lions. We'll finally get to the debate that we've been pocketing for quite some time now with the NFL debating on an NFL team to be played in sunny and beautiful Los Angeles, California. Also, Reflection Friday is on tap, and we'll be taking your calls all the way up until 2 p.m. If anything is on your sports noggin, you know that number, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. All of that and so much more, but let's start this party like we always do. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners for this August 21st. We start with news from the Michigan State women's basketball team. Nia Holly, a five-star prospect from Minnetonka, Hopkins, Minnesota High School, verbally committed to Michigan State's women's basketball program during a KSTP newscast on Thursday. Holly, a 5'10" wing, is ranked as the number 47 player for the 2016 class by ESPN Hoop Girls, chose the Spartans over nearby Minnesota. She said MSU, which has been recruiting her since she was in eighth grade, plays her style of basketball and is similar to her AAU and high school teams. Big grab for Susie Merchant. All right, highlighted by a pair of home games against perennial powers, participation in two high-caliber neutral site events, and a pair of late December games away from home against 2015 postseason participants, the Michigan State men's basketball team will face a challenging non-conference schedule next season. The opener is followed by a showdown against Kansas on November 17th in the 2015 Champions Classic in Chicago, a home game against Arkansas Pine Bluff on November 20th precedes the Wooden Legacy. The Spartans play a non-bracketed game at home against Eastern Michigan on November 23rd before traveling to California for the next three games. A Thanksgiving evening game on November 26th against Boston College opens the tourney. MSU's next game on November 27th will be against a 2015 NCAA tournament participant as both UC Irvine and Boise State make the tournament. The final day on November 29th of the Wooden Legacy could include a game against the 2015 Elite Eight participant, Arizona. Other possible final day opponents include Providence, which was in, of course, the 2015 NCAA tournament, Evansville, the 2015 CIT champion, and Santa Clara. An exciting year for Tom Izzo and company this upcoming season. Should be good stuff. Michigan State men's soccer will make its final preparations for the 2015 season, taking on IPFW today at 6 p.m. as part of the Shindigs National Soccer Festival. After a green and white intra-squad scrimmage on Tuesday, the Spartans look to take on other competition in its final exhibition of the preseason. Earlier this week, MSU was picked to finish fourth in the highly competitive Big Ten Conference. The Spartans were ranked number 9 in the NSCAA preseason poll after ending the 2014 season ranked number 8 and advancing to their second straight NCAA Elite Eight. Alfredo Simon threw aside his summer struggles with a one-hitter for his first career shutout. How about that outing? Delivering the Detroit Tigers their first three-game winning streak since June with a 4-0 victory over the Texas Rangers last night at Comerica Park. Simon had given up 47 earned runs on 75 hits in 51 and two-thirds innings, over his previous 10 starts, nullifying a first half that had earned him all-star consideration. He looked more like the early season Simon on Thursday. The Detroit Lions, they fell to the Washington Redskins last night in game two of preseason football action for the squad, 21-17. The final of that one, the Lions gave up 179 yards rushing and 4.5 yards per carry. Most of it by second and third stringers, though. Washington Redskins QB, Robert Griffin III. He suffered a concussion in Thursday's preseason game against the Lions when he was hit while attempting to recover a fumble. Caitlyn Jenner could face a vehicular manslaughter charge after sheriff's investigators found she was driving unsafely when she caused a chain reaction crash that killed a woman last February. Investigators determined Jenner was driving at a speed unsafe for the prevailing road conditions, L.A. County Sheriff's Department spokesperson Nicole Nishida said. All right, last but not least, UFC superstar Ronda Rousey has reportedly filed a trademark for her do-nothing blank catchphrase and its shortened version, DNB, according to ESPN.com's Darren Rovell. The women's bantamweight champion is set to fight Holly Holm on January 2nd at UFC 195 per her Twitter account. Well, that wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. Call in right now, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports or even tweet me at Al Martin WKAR. Without further ado, it's time to start the show.
Out of the shotgun, final minute, first quarter, Griffin hit as he throws.
They've not done a great job. Robert holds it, he didn't hold it too long.
Off the plate fake, Griffin spun around and down he goes. Well, Griffin lost the football.
This is something we've seen way too many times in the last 3 years.
Welcome to the show. Happy Friday. That's right. It is Friday. You have made it, folks. The weekend is just about here. It's Friday, August 21st, and you are now tuned into Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870. My name is Al Martin. I am your host. And what you just heard was a brief montage from last night's preseason NFL matchup between the Detroit Lions and Washington Redskins. And more specifically, some of the just scratch-your-head, cringing plays from Robert Griffin III. And I gotta be honest with you guys, I mean, watching that game last night and watching Robert Griffin III hit the grass multiple times, I had to say to myself, man, can the brother get any protection? You know, there have been a lot of people putting the weight of the world on Robert Griffin III's shoulders because of the way his career has gone thus far after his successful rookie campaign with Washington, in which he was named as the NFL's Rookie of the Year. A spectacular season, a season that actually cost me my, could have been a three-peat for me in the fantasy football world against my homies back in Detroit. Robert Griffin, he burned me that year, his first year in the NFL. He was spectacular. But then we all know what happened. He got injured, tore his ACL. He went out for a full year. He comes back and just wasn't himself and hasn't been himself. He gets hurt again. He's so injury-prone. And now he's trying to get back on the gridiron and just try to find what type of player he now is. And the Detroit Lions, hats off to him. Because even though they lost, it's the preseason, folks. It is the preseason. I want to remind you all that because, you know, the final score does not give you an accurate indication of how good the Detroit Lions are. Even though they lost 21-17, the final of that game, you measure the squad on what the first stringers do. That's what you usually do when you watch an NFL preseason game. And the Detroit Lions first stringers were absolutely fantastic and have been fantastic for these past two games. Robert Griffin III had no time to throw the football, and that Detroit Lions defensive line that has one big question mark, seeing as though Ndamukong Suh decided to leave the team and take his talents to beautiful and sunny Miami. It has that question mark because, you know, one of the storylines going into this upcoming season is how good that line will be now that Ndamukong Suh is gone. And they have been great so far. So far from what we've seen in the NFL preseason, they have been great. They actually had 3 sacks on RG3. In the first 21 minutes, they held Washington to 1 first down on its 3 first quarter drives. Impressive stuff. RG3, of course, left that game, as I just stated in our quick hit headliner, suffering a concussion while attempting to recover a fumble that was lost. Detroit Lions, they maintain possession or acquire possession off of that RG3 fumble. But RG3, that's when he left the game. He finished with 8 yards, sacked 3 times, and 1 fumble loss. Not a great outing for RG3. And, you know, we live in a world today, especially in sports, where it's about what have you done for me lately. You know, it's the Janet Jackson mantra. What have you done for me lately? And RG3 has not done a lot for this squad lately because he's been hurt. He's been hurt. And, add some fuel to that fire with the comments he made, you know, a little more than a week ago now about him being or feeling as though and believing as though he is the best quarterback in the NFL. We debated that on yesterday's show. We get the mentality. You have to have that sort of mentality if you want to be great at sports or anything in life. You got to believe that you are the best, and you have to push yourself to believe that and train like the best. And that's what RG3 sees himself as. But it's just a tough road for the man. I mean, man, he goes down and tears that ACL and just hasn't been the same player since. And looking at him last night, I could not help but think about what an ACL injury does to you mentally. RG3, you know, he was part of that wave of quarterbacks, you know, like a Russell Wilson, like a Colin Kaepernick, who came into the league and, sort of reminded you of what Michael Vick was when he was in his prime and playing. That guy who could not only burn you with his arm, but could really burn you with what they could do with their legs. You know, and RG3, he was that hybrid quarterback, man, you know, a guy who could get you that first down with his legs. And, you know, with him going down, you know, with an ACL injury, I couldn't help but wonder last night whether or not RG3 is a bit tentative in being that quarterback he once was before the injury, because maybe that injury is still lingering in his mind, being too aggressive and not wanting to get hit or hurt and possibly re-injuring that knee. Can't help but wonder, folks. Because it's all mental when you have an ACL injury. I mean, to equate it to the realm of basketball, you know, Derrick Rose, when he went down with his ACL injury, it was like, okay, well, what's that going to do to his game? Is he going to be as aggressive with that first step and going in the paint and taking that contact? Not everyone can be an Adrian Peterson, okay? A guy who can just bounce back from an ACL injury and just be this phenom, okay? And not even really think about it. Now, and with the advancements in, you know, technology and with the advancements in medicine and so on and so forth, I mean, an ACL injury isn't an end-all, be-all to a respective athlete's career like it once was. I get that. But the mental component to it is very, very troubling. It could be very, very troubling. I saw an RG3 last night that was more so trying to be a pocket presence. We barely saw RG3 get out the pocket and try running the football. We didn't see that last night. And he just doesn't look like himself. But hats off to the Lions. I mean, that first string looks really, really good. Really, really good, folks. Now, of course, I get it. I mean, there is some good and bad when looking at how the Lions played last night. Again, they lost the game 21-17. But, you know, looking at the overall success on what the Redskins were able to do, I mean, hey, Colt McCoy and former MSU QB Kirk Cousins, they, for the most part, were going against second and third stringers last night, folks. And one thing that I think, you know, needs to tighten up, at least, again, looking at the second and third string, is that run defense. The Lions gave up 179 yards on the ground last night. 4.5 yards per carry. That can't happen. That can't happen. But it wasn't happening when the first stringers were in there. So take that with a grain of salt. Quarterback play. Matthew Stafford, 6 of 8 for 78 yards. He looked pretty good. He looked pretty good, I must say. And actually, in his first two preseason games, you know, when compiling the statistics of that first preseason game against the New York Jets, in two games, he is 8 of 10 for 135 yards. Pretty impressive stuff. Matthew Stafford, we haven't seen much of him because, again, we all know in preseason football action, you're not seeing a lot of minutes put on the tires of starting quarterbacks. But with that being said, Matthew Stafford has looked pretty comfortable, pretty accurate. He looks good, I must say. As far as that backup role is concerned, I mean, you know, in preseason training camp, the talk was, you know, some of the loud talk that came out of Lions preseason training camp had to be, of course, who was going to be the backup to Matthew Stafford, Kellen Moore or Dan Orlovsky. I always predicted that Dan Orlovsky was going to win that battle. He's the veteran quarterback out of the two. And I think he is solidifying that spot as the second man right now. I mean, folks, he went 13 of 17 for 118 yards last night and had not one, but two touchdown throws. Pretty nice ones, too. I mean, he had Jeremy Ross on a bit of a slant route from the outside. And Jeremy Ross, I mean, speaking of another battle, I mean, he's in that battle for that fifth wide receiver position, against guys like Greg Salas, and just an interesting battle there. But Jeremy Ross, he looked good last night. He was not afraid to catch that football from Dan Orlovsky facing, three Redskins jerseys right in front of him and just go right in the end zone. Took the hit, went in the end zone, touchdown Detroit. And how about Zach Zinner, huh? The running back with a touchdown catch. Speaking of the rushing attack for the Lions last night, I mean, it wasn't really impressive. We didn't see much from Ameer Abdullah like we did in game one against the New York Jets. We didn't see him just really go off the chain. But Zach Zinner had a pretty good game, I must say. As far as the rushing attack goes for the Lions, though, 46 yards, 13 carries, not great, not eye-popping. So we'll see how consistent that is throughout this preseason and leading up to the regular season for the team. Lions got to be more disciplined. You see this a lot during preseason football. It makes you want to turn the channel, doesn't it? A lot of penalties. And I think this had to, really had to do with it being preseason and the players trying to get into that groove of just playing football again, getting used to football speed. The Lions had 9 penalties for 73 yards. That's got to tighten up. Got to see more discipline there. And how about, former Michigan State quarterback Kirk Cousins? Got to mention Kirk. He's a guy who was the very first quarterback I started covering here when I became a reporter in the area. He's fantastic career here at Michigan State. He had a pretty good game last night. 8 of 12, 91 yards, 1 touchdown. Kirk Cousins did some work last night, folks. As far as his future with this squad, I think that, Colt McCoy, he also had a great outing with the team. Actually, when you look at the two numbers combined, let's split them up. How about Colt McCoy, he went 5 of 6 for 80 yards, And threw for one touchdown as well. He actually had a higher QB, you know, rating than Kirk Cousins, but a good outing for both of those quarterbacks as opposed to RG3, right? Kirk, 8 of 12, Colt, 5 of 6. I think the Colt right now has a bit of an edge on Kirk Cousins because I think he's played better so far throughout the preseason, as well as I really don't think that Washington Redskins personnel and fans have forgotten when RG3 got injured last year and Kirk Cousins came in to be the replacement for what, two or three games and just kind of mucked it up. You know, he had about four or five interceptions throughout that span. One of those games I remember were on national TV, Sunday Night Football. He just it was just kind of a bad outing for Kirk Cousins. And Colt McCoy, if he continues his consistent play throughout this this preseason period, I think he will be named as that number two guy. Now, keep in mind that Kirk Cousins is in the final year of that four-year contract that he signed back in 2012. And, you know, after this season, I really think that you know, there may be an NFL team out there that will give Kirk Cousins a shot at being their guy, at being their starting quarterback. I think Kirk Cousins is a guy who is not a great, outstanding, eye-popping quarterback in NFL standards, but he is a guy who can manage a game. He is a guy who, you know, can come in and give you solid minutes. And I do think that he is a guy who can start on, you know, some of the lower-tier teams that is searching for a quarterback. He's got to watch those turnovers, though. That was a problem that he had last year. So, yeah, overall, though, I think that last night it was fun to watch. It's great to see NFL back on your television. But, again, it's preseason football, folks. We're just sort of, you know, grasping at straws here and trying to, you know, really, if you don't catch, which I almost missed because I happened to, last night I was doing so many things last night. I was even watching Key and Peele. I'm a big fan of Key and Peele on Comedy Central. And I had totally forgot that the Lions were on. And I go on my Twitter feed and everybody's talking about it. And I came in, thank goodness, midway through the first quarter and got to watch, you know, the rest of the game. But if you miss, like, that first quarter of an NFL preseason game, it's like the rest of the game you're watching second and third stringers. So, I mean, how much of an evaluation can you make other than, you know, looking at guys who are fighting for their jobs and trying to make that roster? But I really wanted to see, you know, how that first string would perform. And right now, that Detroit Lions defense looks pretty good. If you happen to catch it, hey, call in and give your thoughts on how the Lions performed last night. 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. I want to invite right now the man behind the glass, our fantastic engineer of WKAR's Current Sports, Isaac Constance. Isaac, how you doing?
Oh, I'm doing well. I got to say, I actually disagree with you on the Kirk Cousins issue. I think he's by far the second choice quarterback for Washington.
Nope. Go ahead. Back it up.
Washington drafted him 4 years ago now in 2012. And he's a project that they've wanted to keep going with. And actually, there was an article just yesterday in the Washington Post which was debating who should start, Kirk Cousins or Robert Griffin III. Because Kirk Cousins, he's more of a pocket passer. I think they view him more as a player that can really lead this team if they were able to build pieces around him. Whereas Robert Griffin III, obviously he's so injury-prone, and he's not dependable. It's tough to depend on a guy who you don't know if he's going to play in the next week or not, and a guy who's not a pocket passer, not a vocal leader of the squad. So I think Kirk Cousins also has the benefit of having played a few games last year, but not really having shown himself fully as a starter with the preseason to prepare, because Colt McCoy did start as the Browns for a whole season just about, and he quickly lost that job. So I think Colt McCoy's already showed us what he has in the tank. I don't think it's much. I think Cousins has a bigger ceiling. I think he's more likely to get that second position.
I disagree because I think the Washington coaching staff has seen, because Kirk got his opportunity. He got a golden egg last year when RG3 went down. He came in, there was a lot of hype around Kirk Cousins because he had shown some flashes prior to the Robert Griffin III injury that, you know, he was a solid quarterback. He came in and it was just bad. I mean, he had 9 interceptions last year, Isaac, 9. And they were bad interceptions. Like, pull your hair out. What were you thinking? Interceptions. And Kirk, you know, having that opportunity and having that shot, we all know that when you get that window of opportunity, you got to seize it. And he just totally dropped the ball. I think what Jay Gruden looked at what Kirk did last year when RG3 went down, it's like, okay, we tried him out, you know, and who knows what's going on in preseason training camp as well. But I think this coaching staff is saying, okay, we tried him out last year. How about we give Cole a shot? Because Cole has been pretty solid for this squad so far, even though it is the preseason here, folks. And Cole looked great last night. Cole had a great outing. Both quarterbacks had a great outing last night. But Cole, I mean, you know, right when RG3 goes down, Cole comes in and leads the team right down the field. Boom. Touchdown. Just like that. And, you know, Kirk, you know, he comes in. He had a few errant throws here and there. But he looked pretty solid as well. Keep in mind, though, that these are two quarterbacks going against second and third stringers. I just think that when Kirk Cousins got that opportunity last year, it was so bad that this coaching staff may be shying away and saying, okay, let's see what Colt may do here. And I think he will be named as the second guy. I don't know. And I saw, you know, a few of my buddies that I actually grew up with in the D who now live in Washington, just getting – I kind of asked them via Twitter, you know, what their overall thoughts as far as the Washington fan base is concerned. You know, when they look at Kirk Cousins, they say, we don't want Kirk Cousins as our second guy. They want Colt McCoy as that second guy right now. So, I don't know. I think, you know, Kirk will get a shot, and especially this is his final year of his contract here. I think he'll play it out, and I think you'll see him with another team after this upcoming year.
I think you will see him with another team after this year because it's hard to say we're done with Robert Griffin III when you've invested that much time, that much money into him. But you've got to remember, Kirk Cousins also is a year younger than Colt. He's got less experience in the NFL. Like I said, they know what they're going to get with Colt McCoy. Kirk Cousins, have to see him with a full season of
But that was an entirely different team. When Colt was playing, I mean, he wasn't playing with the Washington Redskins. That was an entirely different team when Colt McCoy, when you're evaluating his body of work. So I'm curious. Again, call in, folks, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Let's hit our first break. When we come back to the show, we hope to be speaking with the one, the only, former Michigan State hoop star, now forward with the NBA's own Minnesota Timberwolves, Adrian Payne. You don't want to miss that chat and so much more. You are listening to Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870. Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. My man, Tiger Woods, is actually playing right now at the Wyndham Championship in North Carolina. Tiger has to finish this tournament in second place or better to have a chance at making the FedEx Cup playoffs. Right now, Tiger has, he shot a great round in round one, shooting his best round, actually, in 2 years, a 64 at the Wyndham Championship. He has just now begun the second round. Started off with a bit of a whiff. He bogeyed the first hole. Right now, he is currently chasing the leaderboard. And Davis Love III and Thomas Hogg, they lead things at the Wyndham Championship, both at 10 under. Wow, 10 under. So Tiger right now sits at 5 under, and we'll keep you updated on his round throughout this hour. Call in, folks, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Let's go to our phone lines right now. We've got Mike from Saginaw on line one. My man, Mike, how you doing?
How you doing there, Mr. Martin? How you been?
Oh, well, I'm blessed.
Since the NWA came out with a movie, I was thinking about what kind of movie they can make about other rap stars. You know, do you think they can make a movie about Jay-Z or the Wu-Tang Clan or anything like that? What you think,
we
man?
We all know that Hollywood is copycats, Mike. So if they see the success in dollar signs that NWA straight out of Compton brought in, Oh, you better believe you're going to see a lot of biopics within the next 4 or 5 years here. I'm pretty sure they're probably filming as we speak. But, yeah, I saw a rumor that they're already planning for a Straight Outta Compton Part 2. No, please, don't. No, just leave it. Leave it alone. Leave it alone. It was a great movie. Let's leave it alone. Let it be a classic, okay? I hate when they try to make sequels.
How about KRS-One?
Yeah, I'm a big KRS-One fan. All those old school hip hop groups.
Something about a historical. I know they're not going to touch Public Enemy because of their politics.
Yeah.
But I was just thinking, how could they? They'd probably dig up Will Smith or somebody like that.
Oh, you said? Did you just say a biopic?
People,
a biopic of Will Smith?
Yeah.
I don't know how many people will watch that. I don't know about that one, Mike. I don't know. That sounds like a Hollywood flop right there.
I know, man. All right, man. I want to kick it to you about sports here. What I was going to say is, why are these exhibition football games being played on Thursday night?
Well, as far as the preseason games go?
Yeah.
Well, that's how they usually do it. I mean, Mike, because, you know, over the weekend, you will see a few games as well. But I think, you know, ideally when looking at a Thursday night game, we all know that, you know, the NFL Network, they broadcast Thursday night football games already. You know what I mean? So it's already an audience for that. And I don't care. I always say with the NFL, you could put the game on, a Wednesday, a Tuesday, right in the middle of the week.
Sure.
An NFL game is an NFL game. People are going to still watch. It's the NFL.
Okay, then. Do you see a day where they're going to put all the football games on, pro games on cable? Do you see that day coming?
What you mean?
The pro football games. I mean, the NFL, even though the networks like CBS and Fox and NBC, do you see that the day that's coming that the NFL going to put those games on the basic cable?
Well, as far as basic cable goes. So you mean like a local channel like Fox or something like that? Well, they already are doing it, though, Mike. I mean, you can catch, you know, Lions on Fox, you know, every single Sunday. I mean, CBS, they already broadcast the games on local television as well. I think ESPN on Monday Night Football, you know, they used to be on ABC. They've now moved it to ESPN. But, I mean, you're already starting to see a forum where you can catch an NFL game on local TV every Sunday.
Okay. Here's one more question. I'm going to let you move it along here. What I want to do talk about is Little League Baseball and all the scandals they keep having, like teams tanking games so they can eliminate teams from going to the next round and everything. Do you think in this day and age where all these sports leagues now, they really trying to get kids to participate in these sports, do you think it's to a point where one day we're going to just see the Little League is going to be done away with? Like all these travel teams for kids like 6 to 10 years old. Do you see that day is coming where you drive around now, and I'm up in Saginaw, I don't never see any kids out playing baseball, period, or playing basketball, or playing any structure, any sports that the dogs took over and threw structure into it. Even soccer, you don't ever see. And I thought that'd be the most. That's how these games get better: is the kids practice on their own and practice with each other or practice with their friends and buddies. But tell me, look into your crystal ball and tell me what it is, man. And thanks for taking my call.
Hey, always a great call, Mike. Appreciate you weighing in. And as far as our youth goes and getting out and playing a pickup basketball game or a pickup baseball game or getting out and playing soccer, as you just alluded to, I think that our youth has a lot of distractions in today's world. Social media, video games. I remember when I grew up, I mean, going out and playing at the local, you know, a park and playing a pickup basketball game. I mean, that's all we did in the summertime. If the weather was nice, we were grabbing a basketball and going out and playing games like 3-on-3 or 4-court. I mean, that's what we did. And now what you're starting to see is I just really think that kids would rather stay in and play video games or stay on their phones left and right, and is really taking a back seat nowadays. Baseball is one of the sports that are really trying to put forth an effort to get kids out and active, because – this is something that you know, my grandmother always tells me, and I tell this story all the time on Current Sports. My grandmother tells me of stories about how when they were growing up, I mean, you know, pickup baseball was the thing. I mean, that's what kids would do. I mean, you know, they had nothing else to do, so they would grab, you know, their bats and mitts and go out to the local field and go out there and play pickup baseball from sun up to sundown in the summertime. that culture is just gone now, especially when you talk about the African-American baseball player. If you go into to urban communities in Detroit now, you just do not see that. So what's it going to take right now is just the parents to get out there and those who are in charge of youth leagues to get out there and promote the sport, to go out there and preach the message, say, hey, come on out, and we got a game going on. Come on out, and we'll put together a little squad, and let's play. But right now, with the way it's going right now, there's so many distractions that kids would rather just walk down the street and just kind of just hang out and chill out or stay inside and play video games, which is very disheartening. So we're going to actually get to a conversation on that same token later on in the show concerning, you know, youth organizations, you know, within youth sports who are trying to get kids out and to get them active and to participate in youth sports because they get a trophy at the end of their tenure with that respective squad, even if they finish third place, fourth place, even dead last, which it encourages them to go out and just play the game. So I'm curious to get your guys' thoughts on that, because HBO Sports, they did a great job of profiling that. It was just a really interesting conversation and a really interesting take that I haven't even really thought about. Call in 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Isaac, why do you think that is? Why do you think we don't see kids out and active like we used to?
Simply, there's just so many distractions right now. Like you mentioned, social media, then you've got video games, and then you've just got the allure of staying at home in a nice air-conditioned, or I guess up here, a nice heated room, because at the end of the day, these are luxuries afforded to us that former generations didn't have. And, you know, it's so easy to stay inside and just turn on the Xbox and play some video games. Hey, I'm guilty sometimes. But I think the most important thing is that people have lost that social aspect in some ways. People, instead of going out, they can just text their friends. And texting is so easy. It's not even... You don't even have to dial a number and talk to somebody. You just type it out. So, no, it's instant. Everything kids want now. So they don't want to walk over to a neighborhood park. They don't want to go outside and sweat. I think all of those are an aspect. And it's not to say that this technology is solely for the worse, but it's, in fact, it is for the better. People just overuse it and misuse it at the expense of other things like going outside and playing a game of basketball.
Well, how about we bring it up now? Why not? Because HBO, they did a really good job, I thought, you know, profiling. You know, they always think outside the box, and they profiled a story that I really found quite interesting. As I stated before, I threw the mic to you, Isaac. Of course, HBO, they profiled a few youth sporting leagues here in America. And, you know, they went around to different, you know, soccer leagues and different soccer tournaments, you know, from you know, different kids that, you know, the ages vary from, like, you know, anywhere from 6 to 7 to 8 all the way up into actually, like, you know, like 18 years old. And what they found was that it didn't matter what place these kids came in, no matter what, you know, place they finished in, you know, their respective team finished in, each and every one of them still got a trophy. And, you know, there's this debate that goes on now with that being said that, okay, if you give a kid a trophy just based on participation, not based on where they finished in their respective sport, where they placed at, does that send the wrong message to the kid saying that, okay, you might not have played well, but hey, you still went out there and tried, and here's some encouragement for you. We're going to give you a trophy. Because, honestly, that's not the way I grew up. You know, if I finished dead last, which never happened, come on now. But if I was to finish dead last or in the middle of the pack somewhere, which did happen, I didn't get a trophy. I got, you know, a pat on the back, and my dad was like, okay, you obviously need to go practice some more. You need to become better. You need to get better. And that drove me. That would push me and motivate me to get better at my respective sport. But, you know, this is based on the philosophy when you talk about giving a kid a trophy just based on participation. you are just trying to take the self-esteem route and encourage that young kid to keep on playing and that, hey, you're just playing for the love of the game. What do you think about it?
Al, I did grow up getting participation trophies, not in everything, but in some things. And then in others, you had certificates of participation and different just recognitions like that. But at the end of the day, I don't think it should breed complacency, which is the worry. Because at the end of the day, do you know how measly, how wimpy my little participation trophies were? When I was 9, I didn't want a participation trophy. I wanted that big championship trophy. So at the end of the day, I think it sends a good message because it gets kids out. And I think anybody who really wants to be out there, who really loves the game, if you don't want the bigger trophy, then there's no reason for you to even be out there. So I think it's a good way to recognize kids are going out. Good job. You've done more than half the crowd already by just getting out there, but you still need to get that bigger trophy. And at the end of the day, all my certificates of participation, I think, wound up in a few different pieces. Mm-hmm. So, you know, at the end of the day, no, I don't think it breeds complacency if somebody really wants to play.
I think it does at a certain age, Isaac. I think that
I agree
for
that.
Young kids, there has to be a cutoff for me. For young kids who are 5, 6, 7, 8 years old, yeah, giving them a trophy to participate in a respective sport, yes, because it gets them out and it teaches them at an early age that getting out, being active, being a part of a team, you know, showing sportsmanship, you deserve to be a rewarder for that. It sets a good foundation, and it sends a good message. But come on now, let's be real. When you hit high school or even middle school, for that matter,
yes,
you should not be getting participation trophies, okay? There's got to be a cutoff here. You are, you know, once you hit, like, late middle school and going into your high school years, you are preparing for that adult life. You are preparing for the real world. You don't get trophies in the real world for just showing up and going to work, okay? You got to perform. You can't be lazy. And I think to a certain point, I mean, giving trophies to kids who are 16, 17 years old, I just don't see how that benefits them from a psychological standpoint. Because basically what you're saying is, okay, you're doing just enough. It's okay if you're just showing up. And then, you know, looking at the report, I don't know if you saw the actual report, Isaac, but later on in the report, they even profile kids who were, again, you know, talking about like 16-year-old kids, 16, 17-year-old kids, who are a part of the squad, but may not have shown up at all. Their name was just on the roster. They may have missed half of the season due to unforeseen reasons. They still got a trophy at the end of the day and maybe even showed up for like one game. Come on, dude. Really? So I think there has to be a cutoff. Yes, encourage them at a young age to get out, be active, and find sports as a haven for them to really hone a lot of their cognitive abilities that set a good foundation when you're young. But at a certain age, man, you got to grow up. And 16, 17, 18-year-old kids should not be getting participation trophies. You feel me on that?
Oh, Al, that was the second part of my argument. I couldn't agree more because at some point, now, there's a few worries here. You don't want to breed complacency, like I said.
Exactly.
Equally as important, I don't think you want to teach the Ricky Bobby motto, if you ain't first, you're last, because that's not true either. But like you said, at some level, you do want one of those top spots, and you need to recognize you're going out there for something. And I, like you said, I think the perfect cutoff is maybe that 6th or 7th grade where you say, okay, no more participation trophies.
It's Friday, right?
It's Friday. Long week, people. I'm moving out of my apartment, too, so I'm physically exhausted as well.
I like 6th grade. 6th grade is good because you hit that middle. That's when you start playing big boy ball, okay? It's like, all right, you know, you got to perform. You got to perform if you want that trophy. And it motivates you. Not getting a trophy motivated me when I was younger, you know, to say, all right, I want that. What am I going to have to do to attain that? And you got to work your butt off. And that's how the real world is, folks, at the end of the day. And, it was pretty comical. Again, you know, check it out, man. Real Sports with Brian Gumbel did the report, and I found it absolutely just jaw-dropping, especially parents. You know, seeing some of the responses from parents, because as parents, and I'm not a parent, I'm just speaking on, you know, what my mom was like when I was growing up. I mean, every parent out there, especially mothers, you know, because they're, you know, they look at you like, you know, you're like, oh, you're still little. You're always little in your mother's eyes, right? But, you know, they always want you to win all the time. And moms always have your back. And they want to, you know, they want that trophy to put in the collection at home. So they love it. I mean, you barely find a mom who will go against that sort of thinking. But at the same time, you got to grow up. You got to grow up, man. So what do you think about it? 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Isaac, I think Adrian Payne may be big balling this year. I don't know. You know, he's in the NBA. He may got so many things going on, but we still have not gotten that call just yet. We're hoping to get AP on. We only got less than 15 minutes left in the show now. But as we always say, the show must go on. Let's hit our second break. When we come back, we will put a bow on this edition of Current Sports by bringing you Reflection Friday and also debating about, you know, finally get to this debate, whether or not a team from the NFL should make that trip to L.A. Will L.A. have an NFL team, and how well would that, how good would that be for the league? Don't go anywhere. You are listening to Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870. Welcome back. You are tuned into Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Gotta remind you all, hey, Current Sports TV aired last night on WKAR-TV, of course, and had a great time. Great time on the airwaves chatting with the new head coach of the Michigan State men's lacrosse team, that being Cam Holding. It was a great time sitting down with Cam. He's actually born and raised in Whitby, Ontario, Canada. Very cool stuff. And, you know, he recounted his journey from Canada to being a coach here at Michigan State University for that men's lacrosse team. His first year, he's a young guy, too. Young guy who actually plays for not one, but two professional lacrosse leagues. And he also even has a gold medal. How about that? How many people walking this earth can say that, right? But he was a member of the World Championship team for Team Canada, and you know, that team ended up beating the U.S. of A. in the World Championship, and yeah, Cam has a gold medal. He was a part of that team, so he's pretty good. He's also the founder of Power Play Lacrosse, which hones the skills and abilities of our youth who want to participate in the sport of lacrosse here in Michigan. So and it's really taken off. He's been doing it now, I think, since, what, 2010? And it continues to grow by the year. So if you missed that, if you also happen to miss Isaac Constance and his Current Sports television debut, and you get the chance to see his footage from the Miracle League softball game that took place last weekend as we raised money for the Miracle League, which gives kids with the with cognitive and physical disabilities the opportunity to play baseball. You know, we raised money for them as we partook in a media versus former Michigan State athlete softball game out at Rainey Park here in East Lansing. That was fun stuff. You can catch footage from that. Isaac shot everything for us. He did a great job with that. Also, we even talked about the Northwestern athlete unionization story in that episode as well. If you happen to miss it, you know that you can watch that or any episode in Current Sports TV history by simply visiting video.wkar.org. And next week, I'm pretty excited because we'll have one of the more renowned media personalities who never bites his tongue. He always keeps it real. He's a funny guy, and he's always mad. No, I'm joking. That just entails his name, right? I'm talking about David Mad Dog DeMarco, who is, he has his own radio show on WVFN, the game 7:30, which airs each and every weekday at 3 p.m. David is a great guy. He's been a staple in this community for a long time, and we finally invite him to our television airwaves next week, Wednesday at 3 p.m. If you want to be a part of that live studio audience, all you got to do is simply sign up online for free at WKAR.org. Well, Isaac, it is Friday. Long week, busy week. I went out to a few MSU football practices, got to see how the team is revving up for that that opening game matchup on the road on September 4th in Kalamazoo, Michigan, against Western Michigan University. Exciting, exciting, exciting stuff there. Just been pretty busy, you know, and, you know, so many stories and so many discussions here throughout the week on the show. And we love to close out each and every week of Current Sports Radio by doing a bit of reflection, bringing you our favorite moments, guests, and stories, some that we talked about or some that we may not have gotten a chance to talk about here on the show throughout the week. We dub it Reflection Friday. All right, Isaac, it's time for Reflection Friday, my friend, where we take a look at the week that was here on Current Sports. So much happened. So much happened. I think I have to start off mine by talking about the Northwestern Athletes Unionization story, again, which I led with last night on Current Sports TV. It was a story that, again, opened up that box and discussion concerning college athletes and whether or not they should be compensated for their work as a student athlete. And what I mean by compensation, you know, when I look at, you know, that word compensation, again, you know, these athletes have schedules that we certainly can't relate to. I wasn't a college athlete when I came to Michigan State University. But knowing some who are, and knowing those who are, and knowing their schedules and whatnot, I do believe that, you know, I think that the National Relations Board got this one wrong at the end of the day, because I do believe that these student athletes deserve to have a union backing them. And it was just kind of, you know, eye-popping to me that the National Labor Relations Board did not decide to rule in favor of the Northwestern athletes. And now where does this whole thing go? I think it will go to federal court possibly. And I think, you know, if the student athletes are very serious about this, which they should be, I think you will start to see other schools hop on this train. So it was really surprising to me, though. And it was a story that dominated our airwaves during the beginning portion of this week here on the show.
Now, I first off agree with you. I think these athletes deserve to be paid. However, I think the end result of this is going to turn out the same. I think really the decision encourages other schools to build unions so that it can more of be a national college football brand instead of just a brand of one school, which is why I thought the National Board of Labor Relations was trying to avoid. But I want to drop the North from that and just go to Western Michigan, where yesterday was the coolest scholarship awarding I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. Trevor Sweeney, a walk-on special teams member of the Western Michigan football team, had an onside kick kicked to him, which he fumbled and then jumped on it as his teammates looked on. And on the football, it took him a little bit to realize it, but there was a piece of paper which read, "Sweeney, I couldn't be prouder to award you and your family a full ride scholarship. Kalamazoo's," and then Sweeney said, "Kalamazoo's always been my home. I've always dreamed about playing at Western ever since the time where we played at Waldo Stadium as Rocket football kids." So, really sweet story. This kid grew up right around the road. And I love these types of feel-good walk-on stories, Al.
Yeah, you know, we always love to root for the underdog in sports. And that's certainly an underdog story, to say the least. All right, I got to bring up Ronda Rousey. I love Ronda Rousey. I think she is a phenomenal athlete who is taking not just the UFC world by storm, but taking the sports world as an entirety by storm. And she's pretty smart. Pretty smart. She actually reportedly filed a trademark for her phrase, which is a do nothing beep. It's a word I can't say here on the airwaves, but it's her catchphrase. And that phrase basically came from her mother, who always told Rhonda to never just be a pretty girl who relies on a man to take care of you. And she dubs women who are like that as do nothing blankety blanks. So she decided to coin that phrase. The shortened version is DNB. She's had T-shirts with it donned, you know, and really is trying to coin the phrase. So with doing that, any, you know, forum who wants to use that phrase has to shell her some moolah. So I think, you know, this is pretty smart on her part. And also, she has announced her next fight for the Women's Bantamweight Championship. She is set to fight Holly Holm on January 2nd at UFC 195. I just think she's really smart. She's an unbelievable athlete. And I really like that she's a pioneer for the fighting world. And I think she's gonna continue to be a star, especially if she continues her dominance within the sport.
Now, we always hear about these fighters and football players having such brain damage. Rousey, that doesn't really seem to be the case. Her
She barely gets hit. That's why.
she ends all her fights in under a minute, so she doesn't really have to worry about that aspect. And you can tell she's sharp. But my next one actually goes to the 2016, number one recruit, Ben Simmons, who is playing this year at LSU. He recently told Les Miles that he can play receiver. The kid's 6'10". Mm-hmm. Like, imagine if he actually played receiver. That would be scary for an already good Bayou Bengals squad. I personally hope he doesn't, though. When you're the number one recruit in the nation, stick to basketball. Don't risk injury. Just dunk on people and get your money.
Yeah, very, very well said, Isaac. And last but not least for me, Nia Holly, five-star prospect from Minnetonka Hopkins, Minnesota High School. She verbally committed to Michigan State yesterday. And this is a huge get for Susie Merchant and the MSU women's basketball team. She's a 5'10" wing and is ranked as the number 47 player in the 2016 class by ESPN Hoop Girls. I got a chance to check out a bit of her highlights on YouTube last night. And wow, is she good. This is a big, big get for Susie, and I am sure she is smiling from ear to ear. I definitely wanted to bring that up. Folks, I am so sorry we could not get Adrian Payne on the show. We never got a call from him, so hopefully we can table this to possibly on Monday's show. I'm going to reach out to his agent. You know how these big-time athletes get, Isaac. You got to reach out to their agent, then their agent's agent, and then their agent's agent's dog. You got to go through a lot of loopholes in order to get them on the show. So hopefully we'll have Adrian Payne on the show Monday for you. Thanks so much to all of you out there for tuning into this edition of Current Sports with me, Al Martin, right here on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. As always, take care. Have one fantastic weekend, and be easy, people.